Well, the reading I've chosen, you may think, is a very strange reason, a reading for such a day as this, but the reading is in 1 Samuel and chapter 7. I hope when I've finished, you'll understand why I read this passage to you, and I hope that you'll feel it's appropriate. Let me remind you that we're here to, in part, we remember today that it was actually the same day, 40 years ago, that Graham and Carol were married in this place. Just sung two of the same hymns. I understand when I came earlier in the year that it was the time of the church anniversary. Is that right? Was it 360 years? But was it that? 360? Yes. Actually, I was baptized July the 22nd, 1956, which 59 years. If my wife had lived, it would have been 54 years within a few days. So we've all got anniversaries. Now, this is the reading. It's a short reading, but I hope you will find the relevance of it when I've finished. The background is this. Israel is in a very bad state at this time. And they've gone away from God. They've been guilty of apostasy. And God is judging them. And for 20 years now, they have not had the Ark of God in its right place. Now, the Ark of God was the symbol of his presence. It was the little box where they kept the stone tablets of the law. And for 20 years, this had been removed from them. They'd lost it before that in battle with the Philistines. So, 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2. There was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. And then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was there, was the leader of Israel at Mizpah. So they're coming back to God. And then a disaster happens. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines, and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. And here is my text. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." Or in the old authorized version, some of you may remember, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." The text this morning is Ebenezer. Now you may say, I don't know whether this strikes you as strange or not. Let me tell you a story, it's a true story. When I was a maths teacher, I was head of mathematics in a girls' public school at one time, and the English mistress would talk to me about the Bible. Because one of the things in English literature is that in the classic authors, there are many allusions to Scripture. And if you don't know the Bible, many of the allusions in the classics are lost on you. For example, if you take Thomas Hardy, I wonder how many people under 25 today would understand what his book is about when he calls it the Laodicean. I wonder how many people know what a Laodicean is. Well, this English mistress one day asked me about the ox goad, or I think it was the ox goad, or it was the jawbone of the ass, which you find in the book of Judges. It is an allusion in either in Thomas Hardy or somewhere, and she wasn't sure of what the allusion was. Now, I'm not sure whether there's any allusions in the literature about Ebenezer, but you've just sung one. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Now, if we took that round the schools today and they sang that, I don't think they would, but say we took that round the schools and they sang that, I wonder how many of the children would understand what we're talking about. I don't think many would at all. I'm not sure many of the staff would. But the hymn writer, Robert Robertson, must have thought it was important, and he put it in the hymn, and I like singing it, "Here I Raise My Ebenezer." I wonder if you understand what he's talking about. Or John Newton, "Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to see me right through." These hymn writers, John Newton, Robert Robertson, and many others have looked upon this word Ebenezer as something important. There's a hymn tune called Ebenezer. There's many West Welsh chapels called Ebenezer. Ebenezer is an important word, as long as you understand what it means. And I believe that word has something to say on this occasion. Remember, I've said, you know, Graham and Carol married 40 years ago. I would have been married 54 years ago, pretty soon. 59 years ago, baptized, 360 years to the Ebenezer, every time. Let me explain. Samuel sets up this stone because God has given them a signal victory in a terrible difficulty, in a terrible place, and God delivered them. And Samuel wants to record it. And the Bible is full of this idea. The Psalms are full of the idea of recording God's mercy and kindness. Open your Psalms anywhere, and the psalmist is nearly always speaking about personal experience, either for himself or for Israel, recording what God has done, how he has helped and blessed and succored them and comforted them and delivered them in all sorts of ways, and they want to record it. Our fathers have told us, they say, our fathers have told us what you did in their days. And God instituted this for Israel. Remember when he delivered them from Egypt? How did he mark it? And what did he say to them? Every year you must mark this anniversary. You must remember it in this way. It was the Feast of Passover. Tremendous feast, which is still going on today amongst the Jews, the Orthodox Jews. They still keep the festival of the Passover. And they go back over their history and remember the time when God delivered them from their slavery in Egypt. You remember when they crossed the Jordan. I think I've spoken on it here, actually. When they crossed the Jordan, they had to take 12 stones out of the River Jordan and put them on the side. What before? Well, says Joshua, in years to come, your children, you will take your children there, and your children will say to you, "What are these stones doing here, Dad? Why are they here?" And you will say to your son, "This is what happened. When we crossed the Jordan, coming out from Egypt, we crossed the Jordan, and the Lord brought us through on dry land." The children would ask about the Passover, "What do you mean by this service? We remember the Lord delivered us. We remember, and we want to record our thanks to God that he delivered us from Egypt. What do you mean by these stones, Dad?" "We record the fact that he brought us through the Jordan into the land of promise." In the Lord's Supper, those of you who take the Lord's Supper, what's all this about? Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." I've spoken about my baptism. Baptism is a kind of Ebenezer. You're making a statement. You're telling others about something. And this is what Samuel does here. He gets this stone and he says, this stone is called Ebenezer. And whenever the people passed it, whenever they talked about it, that word would come up in the conversation. And it's the meaning of that word that is so very important. And on this occasion, in these circumstances, I mean, this text came to, I don't know how ministers get their text, but this text, this idea came to me immediately when I knew what this day was. But it's several weeks ago now, maybe two or three months ago, I don't know how long ago we found this out. But as soon as I knew what it was, somehow this text came into my mind. It sprang there automatically. I don't know, automatically. God gave it to me, I hope to say. Why? Because this is the very point. Today, Carol and Graham have asked to come and have the service in here. Normally we'd be in that room over there now. So, 40 years ago, I don't know what time it was. What time was it? 3 o'clock. We're a bit early. But it was 3 o'clock. But 3 o'clock, I don't know how many hours ago that is now. I'd be interested in where that precisely, this place had a congregation with this couple repeating their vows. Now, I can't speak for them. I'm not putting words in their mouth. I've not interviewed them. I don't know. I've not checked things out. But my guess is, my hope is, that they would join me in saying, well, we want to say to this congregation, Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us. They came here, and before God, they wanted to make their vows. A lot of water has gone under the bridge in 40 years. I know it has. But that's nearly half a century. That's a long time. I'm not getting anybody. Mine's longer. But I mean, I'm saying that in a good sense. Isn't it a wonderful thing we can say to this very day, Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Now, I'm going to be deliberately short today. I want to bring three main thoughts out of this little text. Very simple, very short. Let me first of all say this. Do you notice at the very heart of the text, hitherto hath the Lord. The emphasis by Samuel is on the Lord. Looking back over this experience, he doesn't praise their army, he doesn't praise this or that, he wants to attribute the success to God, and he wants to record that, and he wants Israel to remember that. Now, if my wife had lived, I know what we would want on a day such as this. Looking back, we would want to say, and I would want to say now, the Lord has blessed, it's God's grace and mercy and goodness that has kept me to this hour. It's the Lord. But the text also says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. In other words, Israel had to do the fighting as well, if you see what I mean. Now here's a mystery. It is all of God, but we have our part to do as well. Now I know what marriage is like. And it is like falling off a log when it's going well. Of course it is, yes. But we have to work at it. And so there's a thought here. We thank God that he's given us the grace to come this far. In this age in which we live. In these times in which we're living. There won't be so many 40 years with the marriages that are being made today, it's sad to say. So we give thanks to God, but we recognize that he has given us the grace also. But there are three things I want to say. What is Samuel actually saying in this, Ebenezer? He's saying, God has helped us in the past. He's looking back, isn't he? This is the occasion. God has helped us. Hitherto hath, I like the old fashioned word here. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. There's a past note there. He's looking back over the years. Now, I said about my baptism, July the 22nd. I don't know what the day is today. What day is it today? 19th. Yeah, I didn't check it out. I lose dates. So 3 days' time, 59 years, isn't it? Yeah. 3 days' time. 59 years is staggering, isn't it? I mean, I know some of you got the same, but I mean, I've got children now. They're in their 50s. It's staggering that we've got children in their 50s. There's an awful lot of past there. You've got a past too. We've all got a past. Samuel wants to say, God has been with me, with Israel in the past. And that's what I want to say for myself. And I want to say it for Graham and Carol. I want to say it for us all. I hope I can say it for all. God has been in our past. But hitherto. It's a long word, but it means up to this very moment. It's not in the past. It is what we are now. Even at this very moment, God is our help. But to me, the text is all future. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, Samuel is saying, and it's going to be like this in the future. I'm not putting this thing up as an antiquarian monument only, a museum piece. I want this to speak, even when I can't speak anymore. I want this to be a testimony for Israel, years after I'm gone. I want people to know that God is help. Now, in our nation, I was there, but I wasn't conscious of it. But in the war, they called for a day of prayer. Now, I guarantee, I think I know this, but I would guarantee, if I can't heard it somewhere, they would have sung a hymn at that service. Oh, God, our help in ages past. Our hope for years to come. You see, that's what's. Now, what is he saying there? But he's helped us in the past. But it's not just history, is it? It's at this very moment now, and it's the future. You see, we know that Graham and Carol have had 40 years. We do not know how long they've got. None of us know. But the rest of their marriage begins now, doesn't it? The rest of our lives begin now. I don't know how much longer I've got. You don't know either. But whatever it is, this moment's fleeting, but I want to look forward and I want to know that God is with me and helping me. That's the testimony I see in the scripture. He's been with me in the past. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. He hasn't. He's been with me to this very moment. But what the future may hold, I didn't know just now, but I was talking to Barbara, and I understand their plans have been turned upside down absolutely in the last few days. Absolutely upside down. Things out of their control completely. Just upcut. And we do not know what a day may bring forth. But I hope they can say, Barbara and her husband, I hope they can say, although their plans have been turned upside down, they trust that God, in some way or another, how mysterious it will be, will bring good out of it. There is something in it for them. You say it's whistling in the dark. No, no, no. This is the way I work. I'm not always on top form, but even if I take a wrong turning sometimes, I wonder if God is protecting me from something. I don't know what I would have had if I'd gone the right. I don't know. You might say it's silly. You could say it's silly. But I still say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped. I mentioned baptism. When I was baptized in 1956, the custom in the church where I was then, I think I may have mentioned this, but if I haven't, this is the truth. When we were baptized in those days, the church had a custom. And as we were coming out of the water, they would sing some words of scripture. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Revelation 2. That stuck with me. I could still hear the organ sounding as I was going down into the water. And as the water's coming out of my ears, I could hear this great congregation, and it was a large congregation in those days compared to us now, singing this rousing word. They were singing it to me. Christ was saying it to me. This is what baptism was about. It wasn't just saying, well, you've been converted, you've been joined to Christ, you've believed and repented and been saved, that's true. But now your sins are washed away, good. But now it's the rest of your life. I'm not saying I've been faithful to God. But I will say this. Hitherto the Lord has helped me. Naturally, I'm not a preacher. Naturally, I'm a shy man. You don't know me. You don't believe it. But it's true. Naturally, I am that. But here I am still today, 59 years later, still standing here, still trying to preach the gospel of Christ. And I can only attribute it. If there's anything in it at all, I can only attribute it to Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Help me. And that's the point I want to close with, really. Me. It's not enough saying us. It's me. I want to go around the room and every one of us, I want you to say, can you not find this for yourself? The Lord and me, helping me. How can I just fix this home, what I want to say? The greatest of all things, beyond marriage, beyond baptism, beyond all these things, the greatest of all, is to be converted to our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't apologize for this. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's my business. When I go to see my quack, she's after my health. And I'm very glad that she talks about blood pressure and everything else. That's what she should be talking about. She's talking about golf or the Philippines or holidays, recipes. I shouldn't be at all interested. But she talks to me about my health and the tablets and everything else, like you, I expect. Yeah. But that's what you want her to talk about. What do you want ministers to talk about? I need to be saved from my sin, and so do you. And the blood of Christ to wash me from my sin. That's the Lord's work. But of course, as I said just now, there's a mystery here. I have something to do. What do I have to do? I have to repent and believe. And I want to ask you, have you ever repented and believed? Have you ever come to Christ and asked him to save you? That's what baptism is about. It's a representation of what's happened. Now, I know you've had baptism here. I think Barbara was the last to be baptized here. That's right. How many years ago was that? How many? Well, that's 21 then, isn't it? Now, I don't know what you think about that, but 21 years is too long for me. 21 years is a big gap. I believe the pool's still there, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Good. And you still got water in this village? Yes. Good. Right then. So there's nothing wrong with the means. It's here then, isn't it? Yes. Where am I getting this from? Well, in a moment, you're going to sing this. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. You'll sing, high heaven that heard that solemn vow, that vow renewed shall daily hear. Till in life's latest hour I bow and bless in death a bond so dear. I haven't checked the hymn in the book. They often change the words, but that's the words I remember. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well, my glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. He drew me and I followed on. What Philip Doddridge is doing in that hymn, although he does not use the word Ebenezer, that's exactly what he's doing. He's saying, I remember the time when God in his grace touched me. And I heard the gospel and I believed, I trusted Christ. And I want to speak of it. And what he is saying is, hitherto the Lord has helped me. The Lord has been with me. He saved me that day. He is keeping me now. And I know he will present me faultless. And I'll renew my vow to him. You see, he's taking it the other way around now. As God has been good to me, so I will vow to him. I would say to Graham and Carol, renew your vows again to one another as it were. I would say to us all, let's dedicate ourselves to Christ again. I would say to this church, 360 years, wonderful. Marvelous, isn't it? 360 years, fabulous. Amazing. But let's wash all that out now. We're starting again now. Let's begin again. Let's go on from this point. Let us raise, for how long it shall be, let us raise another Ebenezer. And if you've never begun, friend, if you've never begun with Christ, that's my main point. Now is the time. You may say, well, I'm well past it now, you know. Well, I know there's such a thing as the years of the locust is eaten. But God has got a wonderful promise in the book of Joel. He knows how to restore the years that the locust has eaten. You can start now. As I said just now, and you all nodded, the rest of your life begins now. This thing can start now. So when we sing this then, O happy day that fixed my choice, if there is a past and you have come to Christ but you've never been baptized, then you know what to do about it. Speak up, please, and I shall be delighted to come and sit in the congregation and see you baptized. Nothing would thrill me more. But if you have been baptized because you've been converted, then I hope you, like me, you'll renew the vow and say, Ebenezer thus far, but that's only thus far. I can't remember the day, perhaps. I don't know all the years that have passed, but I'm starting again now. So my text to you all and to me is Ebenezer. Threefold Ebenezer, past, present, and future. I hope you have an Ebenezer, my friend, more than one. That you remember that God has been good to you, and you will be faithful to him.